out of the COVID foolishness. And New York State is dragging its heels well behind everybody else. And so we do ask our folks, again, just to be conscious and be aware that COVID is real. There are still some cases going on. And so we do want to be cognizant and be careful. As much as you are careful at spreading the flu, there's precious little difference. And so we'd ask again. But if we do have visitors that want to wear a mask, again, masks are welcome. But again, I encourage you just to be careful of your cough. Be careful covering your mouth with a cloth when you're coughing, sneezing, hacking, wheezing. And I'll be doing all of them here. I've never had such a case of hay fever going on. And appreciate, again, springtime just the same. But as we, again, get going again, appreciate folks coming back out to church and appreciate each one of you being here today. We spent some time all this year, again, going through the book of 1 Peter. It's a book about suffering. It's a book written, if you look at the opening verses, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers, later he calls them strangers and pilgrims, strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These are saints that are not being treated fairly by the government. These are saints that are going through suffering because of persecutions, and these are saints that are under Nero, who is doing vile persecutions against the church. The church of Jesus Christ has, again, gone through three horrible stages of persecution, and I don't know but what we're headed to another. But first off, the Jews persecuted the church. Remember, a guy named Saul was involved in that. And so there was a great Jewish persecution of the church. And then there was a great Roman persecution of the church, and that was under Nero. It kind of culminated, and he was the one who, again, saw the martyrdom of several of the apostles. And then finally, under the Roman Catholic Church and its Protestant offspring, there were millions of Baptists, I'll call them that because they refused the church's baptism. They were called Anabaptists. They were called lots of despicable things, by the way. But they were, again, all pedo-baptists fighting against pedo-baptism, baptism of infants, thinking that if you baptize an infant, he goes to heaven. And so there's no teaching of that in the Bible. And the saints never did believe that, but the Roman Catholic Church initiated a persecution of Christianity that has gone on, yea, even to the present day. And so understand that there were these horrid persecutions going on. And I thought it'd be good to cover Peter because I don't know but what we're headed for one. As we see a socialist government, as we see, again, anarchy in the streets, as we see things rearing up again, and all things godless. And so I thought it'd be good to go through and look at the suffering instructions, as it were, that's given by Peter to this group of believers and take to heart. As we went into it again, we found out that even though we might not suffer persecution to death, as it says in Hebrews, you have not yet shed blood, but again, there is going to be challenges. And so I trust it's been a blessing to you. I know it has been to me. And we're in the final chapter of the first letter. And again, I have enjoyed this study tremendously. So let's go ahead and pick up our reading starting there in verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll read down through the end of the book. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, and you follow along in your Bible as I would read 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 6. The Bible says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Remember who he's writing to here again. And remember, he's also writing to you and I. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all peace, or God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elect together with you, saluteth you, so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Father, praise you and thank you again that we could hold in our hands a book that was written again a couple thousand years ago to encourage, to strengthen, and to charge us even here today. And I pray that it would. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated as we pick up this portion again. I want to go back and look at this down through here, verse by verse, and just pick out some highlights that I think need to emphasize for us here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church and for you walking in a vile world that we're living in today. Verse 6 says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Many say, we got to fight. 20 years ago, under a Muslim jihadist takeover, America resounded with anthems of God bless America. Then 6 years ago, under a socialist United Nations first regime, America responded with a Make America Great vote, if you remember that. And Make America First. And that regime lasted till last year with an unprecedented 74 million legitimate votes for Make America First and Make America Great. But the very corrupt leftist empowered by big tech, big media, with less than 50 million legitimate votes and 30 million illegitimate votes. Of course, the media calls all of that a lie, because you know who owns the media, or who's owned by the media, whichever way you want to look at that. And so anyway, our government was taken over by a socialist with an agenda of anarchy, with Marxism in the forefront and being preached and being used again as a tool in our own country. And so I want us to look at this again and understand that here God says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. That's kind of what I tried to preach, although it's been several months that I've had trouble getting my hand on that as well. If you want to write to your representatives, I encourage you to do that. I'd call them what they are. In fact, I have. And so, but again, we are under a representative government. We used to be anyway. And so I encourage you to let your representatives know what you think of that and the positions that they're taking under socialism. But again, you and I need to understand that God is in control. We've heard that lots of times. God puts allows people in power, and God takes people out of power. And so humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Let me also say that Rush Limbaugh is dead. This week, a leading conservative voice, Sean Hannity, spent the whole week dancing with Bruce Jenner and pretending that he was a she. Now, that's a leading conservative voice who's pretending this sort of tomfoolery with this transgender sin in America. And so, again, understand that I don't hold that there's going to be any conservative bailout, any conservative that's going to come back and take over our government and put it all back together. They're hobnobbing again with as much sin as the leftists are introducing. Christians, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And let me say, it is mighty. For years, I had Baptist preachers tell me the Bible was thrown out of school because I did not protest enough. Even this year, I was told by a respected Baptist preacher of the gospel of Christ that schools are now under transgender control because I did not run for a school board position. Listen, let me go ahead and say that the devil is in control at steering this nation now. Grady wrote a nice book several years ago that said how Satan turned America against God. And some of us are just now realizing that America has turned against God. And so again, as we understand that, understand this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And it is a mighty hand. The devil is doing what he does, is doing it in the country that I spent 23 years fighting for. And God says again that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I think I've beat that to death. But let me go ahead and say again that we need to keep that in mind. A lot of Christians are standing up and demanding their rights. I said in my penny pulpit, Christians want to be careful demanding what's due to them. Again, if anyone knows what mercy is, Christians ought to again understand that we have no position to stand up and demand what's due to us. And we're finding out very quickly that demanding our rights under this socialist regime is not going to be a pretty picture. So look at the next verse there, number 2, down verse 7. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now as we humble ourselves and we accept what God's doing, and we even surrender, as has been taught previously, and we submit to our governors, even though I think we ought to do everything in our power to impeach Governor Cuomo, understand that we are still to surrender. And for the Lord's sake, the Bible says here in Peter's instruction. And here it says that while we're in that position, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I stole this line from a preacher, I think it was down at East Corning, that said, the copyright mongering ecumenicals teach that the KJV is hard to understand. So let me read this verse again and see if we can understand it clearly. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Look at verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I don't want to spend a lot of time preaching that point because we have here already. But understand again that the roaring lion likes to pick off the weak, the young, and the ones that are separated from the herd. And so I'd encourage that you not be separated from the herd during these days. Notice again that that is a tactic of Satan, and it has been a tactic even of our own government. And so here it says, whom resist. verse 9. Whom the devil, that is, resist steadfast in the faith. And so what you believe here is called the faith. And the fact that we believe is indeed in the noun form faith. And so notice again what it says, whom the devil, that we should resist steadfast in our belief system, in what we believe. And let me go ahead and emphasize one more time that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And now we don't have three to thrive here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church right now. Boy, I encourage you that you need to be in the Word. You need to read this book for yourself and understand what God's saying. It's good to be under the preaching and teaching of a Bible-believing preacher, pastor. But again, it's more important and extremely important in this day and age that we're also taking it in ourselves. God speaks to us through this book. When a person gets saved, I like on five fingers of my hand to tell them five things that they need to do right after salvation. And listen, it's just as vital for us crusty old Christians as it is for that new convert to keep these five things in mind. Number one is to keep praying. You got saved by talking to God. I got a point later on here that says we are not saved by faith. We are saved by grace through faith. And so when a person gets saved, they talk to God to do that. And we need to keep talking with God. Number two, this book shows the plan of salvation that taught us again what it takes to be a born-again, converted to Christ Christian. Don't stop reading it. Keep reading the book. It is God's letter to us. Number three is that we, again, tell someone else what happened to us. If you just got saved, boy, it's important to go tell someone else that you've been saved. Someone that will rejoice with you, or someone that you know they need to be saved. Be a witness. Number four, unite together with other people that believe the same and are born again. Get into a church that teaches the Bible. And then number five, follow the Lord in believers' baptism, accepting, again, a testimony before God and all the world that you have been saved, you have been converted to Christ, you have been born again, you've received Christ as your own personal Savior. And so again, those five things are just as applicable to you and I today in order to be steadfast. And so notice here again that there's a cry for us to be steadfast in our faith, and again, to cause that we grow. When we get to 2 Peter, I've just kind of been chomping at the bit to get to 2 Peter. He gives you a whole bunch of lists of things that add to your faith so that you could be steadfast, so that you do grow. We've already seen in 1 Peter here, in chapter 1, it says that ye may know, verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed by corruptible things. You ought to know if you're saved. Number 2, verse 2 says, or chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And so notice again, we're to know and we're to grow. Same chapter 2 and verse 9, it says that you may show forth the praises. Number 3, we are to show forth Christ. We said when God saves a person, he'll change you, or save you. He'll save you till you know it, and he'll change you till you show it. And then lastly, we are to go, as it says in verse 21, that we should follow in his steps. So Peter is dealing with some basic things in our life that could cause that we would be steadfast. I said I wasn't going to spend a lot of time preaching this, standing against the wiles of the devil here, but I have. I wanted to make sure we got that grounded in our minds. Look now at the last half of verse 9. It says this, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Who are these your brethren that are in the world? Back up one chapter real quickly and look what it says. I think it's in verse 8. Verse 8 of chapter 4. It says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. And so among ourselves here, we are to have fervent charity one for another. Watch care. Lots of times a little persecution, a little unfair treatment causes that we turn on each other. And we want to make sure that that doesn't happen. Peter wants to make sure it doesn't happen to all these saints that are scattered. So he tells them here to have fervent prayer, or fervent charity one for another. But now in verse 9 over here, chapter 5, he says that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Your brethren that are in the world is Faith Baptist Church in Vinton, Ohio. And Pastor Bennett, our evangelist, Cliff Bennett, and Connie, closing their church and still suffering from COVID. Listen, we want to encourage and understand and pray for. Notice what it says. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It is Fellowship Baptist Church in Waterloo, New York, where their new pastor, Lee and Donna Pickett, right now have COVID-19 and need our prayers. It is Lighthouse Baptist Church in Horseheads under Pastor Hack, that had their building boarded up by Schuyler County officials and just now got a non-public apology for the overstepping of the bounds. It is Alpine Baptist Fellowship, where Pastor Bruce and Samantha Varner served for 20 years. They're our sister church. He's our friend in the ministry, and they are friends to us in the ministry. And listen, they need prayer. And so notice again here, it says that we ought to be conscious. We ought to understand that there are others going through the same afflictions, are going through some rough times, and we're to hold each other up in prayer and understand. And again, not turn on each other. Boy, there's still a tendency for churches even to turn on each other. And could I say right here, after pastoring in Yates County for 26 years, for a quarter of a century, that there are always lots of critics for pastors. They don't need any more critics. They need some prayer warriors. And so as you look around here, I've got a circle that I pray all the way around Seneca Lake here and Good Samaritan Baptist Church of pastors that are struggling right now and need to be lifted up. And so those are, again, churches, people, Christians that are in the same afflictions that's being accomplished in them by the devil. The same afflictions accomplished in your brethren that are in this world. Look at verse 10 with me. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Stop right there and pause. Look at that verse again and tell me, who is it that makes you perfect, established, settled? Who is it that does that? And it is God. And all of us need to grow. Right here, Good Samaritan Baptist Church, all of us need to grow in our dependence on God, so that we could again have those qualities put into our life by the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise His holy name. Verse 11 says, to Him be glory and dominion. I wish you could have heard the message to the men again on Friday night about dominions of this world and the fact that we have to have our dominion under control. Good preaching up there. But again, understand here that the dominion belongs to God. God is in charge. And he gets all the glory here. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And if I could, let me bounce all the way back up to our beginning and say this: humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If you spend your time exalting yourself, again, God will tear you down. But again, if you let him do the exalting, you live for him and give him the glory and the dominion, again, he will exalt you in due time. Those two are interconnected. Let's move on. Look at verse 12 with me. I got time. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose. Now, when I'm studying the letters by Paul, I like to look at his closing, because he often has someone else write for him. He had, as near as we could tell, a iritis. He may have had it from ankylosing spondylitis in his lower back that caused him to suffer from iritis, where it's an internal eye infection. It just flares up, just like arthritis flares up. And it literally blinds you. You could have the same feeling if you've never been there by opening your eye and dumping about a quart of sand inside of your eyeball. That's kind of what the iritis feels like. But anyway, Paul had that, or something similar to that. And I think probably that was the thorn in the flesh that he prayed about as well. But again, anyway, when he closes a letter, he would have someone else was penning for him. And sometimes he'd say, I wrote these last words in my own hand, and they were noticeably in different text, manuscript written. And so notice here again that this says, by Silvanus. So let's figure out who this Silvanus is. If you've got a Bible reading schedule, notice on there that I put all of the books in order that they were written. So again, if you look at them again, you can go down through and find out. I didn't have my other schedule with me, so I got to flip through this one. But you can find out when these books were written. And one of the earliest books were written was 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, written by Paul. Let's turn to 1st Thessalonians. It's back in front of Hebrews. Keep going past Timothy and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Now, the books are not in the Bible in the order that they are written in, except for the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are in the order that they were written. But all of these letters and epistles that were written fit into, in the history book, the Acts of the Apostles, they fit into a chronology of when they were written. And that helps me, again, keep track of the time frame here of the early church. And so look at 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1. And it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here Paul is writing, and Silvanus and Timothy, young Timothy we call him, because he was a disciple under Paul, and he was there present with him. Look at 2 Thessalonians, which he wrote shortly after that. And it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. And so there's that Silvanus again. And notice Peter in our text said that he is faithful. One more, look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, I believe it was. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and I didn't write the verse down. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but to him was yea. And so they gave a positive message here. And so notice that this Silvanus that's called out here by Peter is mentioned here again by these others. He was running around with Paul. And if you would allow me to put this in, he was a mailman, okay? He was the one that ran all over these countries, especially the Asia Minor there again, to deliver mail of Paul. And here he's delivering this letter for Peter unto these saints that are scattered. And so that's the Silvanus there. And I just point out again, it says of him, a faithful brother unto you. And again, I suppose, goes to what he wrote, not as to whether Silvanus was a faithful brother. And again, understand that behind the scenes in the Bible, there are many, many servants that may not get named even as much as Silvanus did here, that are just, again, carrying on. And we might be a faithful servant that just carries on here for life as a little speck on the map. But listen, God remembers faithfulness. And so I want to encourage you again to be a Silvanus, be an encourager of the saints, even as he was, and getting involved here in church plants and mission work. And praise the Lord for Silvanus. Look what he says then, as Paul says this, or Peter, I'm sorry, says this, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you. Then he says, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. I want to look at that grace of God. Before we do, let me go ahead and say that in my mind, that Silvanus came and he got with Peter and he said, okay, I want you to take this letter to all the churches here that I've mentioned. And Silvanus said, I mean, he's been a mail carrier for Paul. Come on, okay. He wrote 1st, 2nd Corinthians, 15 chapters. And so Silvanus says, is that it? That's all you've got? It's two pages? And so that's why, in my mind anyway, that's why Peter wrote this down. I suppose I have written briefly exhorting and testifying. And then look what he's testifying, that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. Look back at verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto the eternal glory by Christ Jesus. And now here he says, this is the true grace. Let me just go on a rant here, if I got a minute, about this true grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I had said previously that faith does not save us. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved, through faith. And so you need the faith in order to get saved. But again, it is God's grace that saved you. He gives you what you don't deserve and what you can't deserve. There's a lot of people, I was talking to my neighbor about religions again, and the fact that all religions have a list of things that you've got to do religiously so that you can approach unto a holy God. And all religions are vain. There's no approach that you can do. There's no works that you can do. There's no beads that you can count. There's no penance that you can do. There's no offering that you can give. There's no candle that you can buy. There's no way, again, that you could deserve to go in heaven. I've read the bylaws and the Constitution and the Declaration of Faith that was written by the United Methodist Church when they united the Episcopal, the Methodist Episcopal, and the Methodist Church, all united in what's called the United Methodist Church. And they had the courtesy to write down what they believed again in that transaction. And I had a copy of that and said, whoa, here's what they believe about salvation. That if you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, you've got to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. And if you ask Jesus into your heart and then you come to church, he will make you good enough to deserve to go to heaven. He will transform you. Listen, that's work salvation. That you could be good enough to deserve to go to heaven. And so I tell you what, when I read that, that changed the way I pray for Methodists. Again, they've been under that teaching. When Betty Smalley came here, she gave testimony of where she got saved. And she didn't get saved in the Methodist church, but she'd gone to the Methodist church all her life. In fact, I started hunting around here and finding people that were saved and still going to a Methodist church and asked them, did you get saved in the Methodist church? And 100% of them that I found and asked again said, no, I got saved in the Baptist church. But our family's always gone to a Methodist church. Listen, the Methodist church doctrine, and it's not any different than the Protestant, any Protestant church, is that you can deserve to go to heaven. And you can work your way into heaven. That's why they have the model that says God's going to show up at St. Peter and he's going to weigh your good works and weigh your bad works. And if you've done more good works than bad works, you're going to go to heaven. There's not an ounce of that in the Bible. That is proliferated by the Protestant religion. And again, understand, the Catholic religion's what started that. And her children, again, carry it on. That you can work your way to heaven, that you can deserve to go to heaven. Listen, don't ask for what you deserve, because we need the mercy of God, as I said previously. So it's God's amazing grace. It is saving grace. Like John 1, I praise the Lord with Nathanael that he knew my name. It's amazing that he knew Eddie Rice. It's amazing that he came. He spent his time here on this earth. He paid the price. He suffered the pain. And he did it for my sin debt. And he did it for your sin debt. That's amazing grace that he would do that. It is amazing, again, that he came. It is amazing that he gave me the opportunity to be saved down in Gang Mills Chapel way back in 1960. It is amazing, again, that God changed us. God called me. God calmed me. God conquers me. And God conquests with me, again, challenges in this world be by his amazing grace. I'm amazed that I'm not consumed every day. God has a saving grace. He has a securing grace. And his grace seals us for all of eternity. What can't be cured can be endured by God's grace. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Grace is personal. Grace is plentiful. Grace is punctual. Grace is powerful. So I'd again have us understand here that it is God's grace that gives us salvation. It's his goodness towards us that he would cause again. That we could pray a sinner's prayer and receive everlasting life. Father, how I praise you and thank you for your immeasurable grace. And I thank you even in this closing here by the Apostle Peter, writing to churches that are going through suffering, that are being treated unfairly by this world. Father, I thank you again that we could look at it and humble ourselves under your mighty hand. And Father, that we could again see some victories even here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Pray that you touch each one that's here today. Cause that we could hear from heaven. We'll praise you and thank you, Father, for the encouragement, for the strength that we get from your word. But especially, Father, for the grace that's all sufficient. And we'll give you the praise now as we close our service in awe of your great love. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Let's stand and let's close with the first of that amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. see 'twas grace?
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Last verse. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Lord, bless you for being in church today. Let's go to the house. Good morning.